Hey guys and girls, this is your host Alisha Lakhani. Welcome to Key Briefing Podcast. Let's get started. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Today, I'm going to answer one of the hardest topics of this podcast. But to be really honest, I'm very excited about answering this particular question. Because this is one of those questions which I always get asked when I talk to my friends or I tell anybody who I meet and talk about how much love I have for the ocean. Before jumping into this topic, I would warn you, this topic is not about what's right and what's wrong, but it's about having an open-minded and an open-ended discussion on what roles do we human play in the evolution of the ocean. And I would request every single one of you listening to have an open mind and to try to understand the arguments that I make on this episode. I'm not only going to share my personal opinions on this topic, but also a research that was done by Department of Recreation, Parks and Tourism Sciences at Texas University. So with all that said and done, let's jump right into the topic. On one hand, we want to take these animals out of the ocean and nurture them and provide them the food every single day without uncertainty, without any struggle, without any hustling, without any worry. And we want to protect them from the natural predatory environment that they used to live in the ocean. Even if that means taking them out of the ocean and putting them in an artificial environment where they clearly don't belong at our home. But on the other hand, these animals are sources of inspiration and they inspire the next generation to be excited about the ocean. Not only that, they are also sources of learning. A lot of people use aquarium hobby to learn more about the science of the ocean. So does that mean keeping these animals out of the ocean just for humanistic egos is justified? And that's basically the kind of questions that a lot of reefers, including me, ask every day, that are we being unfair to the ocean? Are we taking too much from the ocean? Are we being greedy and taking things from the nature when it was not supposed to be taken? The reason why I ask these kind of questions is because one of my friends, long time ago, before this pandemic hit and the world went into all lockdown, he came to my place and he asked me, what would happen if I lock you down in your house and I provide you all the food and all the light and all the facilities, but you're not allowed to leave your house? And that question baffled me because to this date, I have no answer to that question. I mean, I did manage to give him a very vague opinion of that answer, but to this date, I do not know what's the right answer for that question. And I keep asking myself that, was he right? And I have no shame in accepting that he did manage to get his point across. But then what about all the things that this hobby has taught me about the ocean? This hobby brought me extremely close to the ocean and made me realize why I need to care for these animals. Back then, I couldn't communicate that entire emotion to him because back then I was very new to this hobby and I myself was trying to figure out what my connection with this hobby is all about, or what my connection is with the ocean. But today, as I reflect back on that question, I would still say that I have 50% clarity on that answer, but I'm still 50% unclear on what exactly do I believe in. So whenever I'm going through a personal dilemma like that, I ask myself, what are the facts? And the facts are, a year back, I was a completely different person. A year back, I wouldn't have even thought of recording my voice for a podcast, or putting my face in front of a camera and telling people how amazing this hobby is. And all this content creation that I'm doing right now is because I feel so much love and so much inspired by these animals that I feel like if I'm not going to do it, then who is? I have this amazing, profound love for these animals that I cannot contain that energy and that love inside me. And now I feel like I should be sharing and I should be doing more to spread the message of how now these animals need us more than we need them. And as I think about it, my dad always said this statement, is that everyone has a voice. Some people use their voice for good and some people use their voice for bad. It's just up to you, how do you decide to use that voice? And today, as I look back, I realized that I have not met anyone in this hobby who does not have this profound love for these animals. Every single person that I know in this community loves these animals and they want to save the ocean in one form or the other. And I have seen people go great lengths to nurture these animals that they keep at their home. And in some ways, I feel like the environment that a lot of reefers, a lot of people in this community provide is somewhat better than the toxic ocean that we have created right now. And yes, don't take me wrong, like humans are the problem and humans are claiming to be the solution. And that's not fair to these animals. But on the other hand, if you look at the facts right now, ocean acidification is a huge issue. Global warming is a huge issue. And the only way these animals can thrive now is inside an artificial reef aquarium. So the point that I'm trying to make is that the reason why humans have destroyed the ocean is because ocean is out of sight and out of mind. And the moment we put these reef tanks in our house or put these reef tank in a museum or put these reef tank in a school, we bring forward the beauty, the science of the ocean. And when people interact with these reef tanks, they ask these amazing questions that are innocently beautiful, but also extremely dangerous for our ocean. Because a lot of people don't even realize that these glowing rocks are not just rocks, they are living animals. And I think that's the kind of problem this hobby is trying to address. So if I do get to talk to my friend about this topic again, I think that's the kind of justification that I would lead with. Because after being in this hobby for a year and knowing the things that I know now, I feel like this hobby is adding more value to the ocean and taking some out of it in return. I wanted to bring forward a research that I landed on a few days back, and I found it extremely intriguing. Just for some background, this research was done by Miss Elizabeth Marchio, who is a researcher at Texas A&M University. And she talks about how the art of aquarium keeping can communicate science effectively and drive conservation efforts. I link this research paper in the podcast description so you guys can go and have a read at it. And if you're a reefer who's listening to me, I would highly encourage you to go ahead and click that link and read that research paper and try to find out what's your bond with the aquariums that you keep. So the way she carried out this research was basically by interviewing. She also went to a very famous reefing event by the name of MACNA and met many experienced reefers over there. And I personally love the results that she stated in this research. She mentioned that in this study, I discovered caring for a home aquarium is largely motivated by aesthetic reasons, but communicates science latently over time. And long-term aquarium keeping leads to a personal response in science as well as conservation. So the biggest takeaway for me from this research was that people get into this hobby for the aesthetics. They like what they see. They like the wavy tentacles of corals. And if you think about it, a lot of us reefers got into this hobby as well because of this reason. The art inspired us, but the science kept us going. So at the end, if I say that we all get in for the art but stay for the science, I think that would not be an understatement. To conclude today's episode, I would like to quote from this research. It's a quote from a reefer who has been in this hobby for 5 years. And he said, "I find the aquarium to be an amazing medium of expression. You can paint a beautiful picture with your wood, rocks, plants, and fish. In addition to that, your work of art is constantly moving, evolving, growing, and changing. I see this comparable to the transition from still art on paper and canvas to the modern art of film and cinematography. Aquascaping is a living, breathing work of art." And I think this quotation summarizes today's episode perfectly. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you not only enjoyed today's episode, but learned something out of it as well. Now, if you're with me till this point, I really want to thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to Keep Reefing on your favorite podcast provider so that you don't miss out on the future episodes that I'll put out. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, it would really mean a lot if you could leave a rating or a review for this podcast. It helps me with the motivation to make more episodes just like this. But until then, thanks for listening. See you in the next episode. This is Alisha Lakhani and I'm signing off. keep reefing.